Hello everyone and welcome. This is VI Podcasting, aka Paul Hopkins. Just apologising straight away for the slightly bad quality of mic this time. We're playing with the mics that actually came with the Vostex AR4i. That's an aside really, but yep, there they are. One, two. So, you know, quite a good stereo separation. Sorry about the mic handling. Anyway, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to be apologising for too much. I'm not careful, but they're not great. So that's a slight problem. But just wanted to use them because give them an airing, really, and just say as an advert to Vostex, if you ever should listen to this, get your mic sorted out. You don't make such a great product as the Vostex AR4i is and then put really crabby mics on. I'm sorry, dudes. I would have paid an extra $20-$30, pounds, whatever, for some good mics. Anyway, it's not what we're here for, as I said, so it's a bit of an aside here because we're using Vostjock and the next Audio Mo, I think it's 23, or given that we're on the 23rd of November. I'm going to do something a little bit longer today because just testing even some of the capabilities of the very latest beta. Ed and Dave, I think Ed in particular, it would be fair to say, has been going around squashing bugs again with the latest beta and some particular little things that I was coming up with on the iPhone 4. But I won't go into that. I'll let them perhaps talk about that if that's what they want to do. So this is going to be something I recorded a little while ago. My dad's 60th birthday, we went to Scotland and we went to the Loch Ness, of course, to see if we could find the Loch Ness monster. And the only way to do that is to go on a boat trip with the natives and let them sort of tell you all you need to know. Is it true? Is it not? I don't know. Let's find out. So, yeah, that's what we will do now. I hope that you enjoy this, and I will see you on the other side of it. Loch Ness, and the town is Fort Augustus.
Toilets on board the vessel are on the right hand side for the ladies and on the left hand side for the gentlemen. During the cruise, should you have any questions, please approach the crew. Also, should anything untoward happen to the vessel during the cruise, safety instructions will be issued across this public address system. If you could please listen to what we have to say and then act accordingly. Life jackets on board the vessel are in boxes that are clearly marked. There's two in the top deck, two in the back deck, and two in the centre saloon. There's also additional life jackets strung below each of the seats in the centre saloon. Donning instructions are displayed in the window of the wheelhouse for the top deck, and also in various areas in the centre saloon, i.e. the refrigerated display unit on the bar. Life rafts on board the vessel are located on the top deck. They're disguised as seats and are float free by IT. The additional life raft is on the bow deck. This is for use in emergencies only and shall be released by the crew. During the cruise, can you please make sure you know where your children are on board the boat at all times and not that
Anthony? Anthony?
Don't run around the vessel, please. Now then, if you sit back and relax and let Cruise Loch Ness entertain you for the next hour or so, thank you.
So we're going to go part way down the lock of Loch Ness. Hopefully we'll see the monster. About the film Loch Ness, and none of it was recorded here apart from 10 minutes.
On the right hand side of the boat here, folks, we have the site of the old fort. Fort Augustus got its name actually from the Duke of Cumberland's son, William George Augustus. Augustus, and where the abbey now sits is where the original fort was built. The fort was built between 1729 and 1743, and a military garrison was positioned in this area to try and calm down the surrounding islanders. And we actually kept them busy there right the way through until 1854, when the local landlord, who at that time was Lord Lovett, or Simon Lord Lovett, he was the 15th member of the Lovett family to be a lord. He gifted the area to the English Benedictine monks, and they ripped down the fort and built a monastery as you see it standing there today by 1867. It was opened in 1876, and a private boys' school was also opened in 1818. This thrived right the way through until 1994, when the boys' school was closed and the place was converted into a visitor centre. The visitor centre wasn't exactly a big hit to start with, and was closed down again in 1998. Unfortunately for you, those of you who are listening to this dish now, it has just opened up again, and you can now wander around the grounds of such a beautiful building. It certainly stands in an impressive position of Loch Ness, a good reminder to its impeccable history. Now just to run you through the dimensions of Loch Ness, folks. Loch Ness itself is 23.25 miles long, or 37.4 kilometres. On average, she's just over 3/4 of a mile wide, which is 1.2 kilometres. The surface area is 21.78 square miles, which is 44.64 square kilometres. The average depth is 603 feet,
which is
183 metres.
It's a lot, isn't it?
And maximum depth is 786 feet, or 239 metres.
Cool.
The volume is big. 263,000 million cubic feet of water, or 29,800 million cubic metres. That makes Loch Ness the third longest, second deepest, largest volume of water in Britain today. The water in Loch Ness, incidentally, would cover both England and Wales with 6 inches or 15 centimetres. And probably make the Yorkshire Water Authority bosses smile as well. But for those of you that live in England and Wales, you can relax. We don't want to cover you with water. We actually want to add more monsters to Loch Ness, and that basically leaves us with only one target. The Houses of Parliament.
God is cave.
Real prince. They weren't very pleased about that one. So they hung Bernie McCaskill for treason. The cave nowadays is actually underwater, and this is due to when the canal was built. You see, when the Caledonian Canal was built, they had to raise the level of Loch Ness by 9 feet, or just under 3 meters. And with that rise, that dropped the cave out of sight. Now, folks, for those of you on board who would like to see how our sonar system works, well, if you're on the top deck, head down. If you're on the bottom deck where the bar is, stay where you are, and we'll soon join you down there and give you a full run through of what you're looking at on that sonar screen, sir, ahead of you and above. Incidentally, if you've got cameras, get them ready, because there may be
photographs
to be had.
I'm going down.
Are you staying here? Yeah, what are you doing then? Shall I come down with you?
He said get your camera ready.
Right. Two different screens, two different pictures. What side do you want me to start on?
Well, we're all there,
so
this one.
Ah, you lot are all there, but there's a lot of other people on board as well. You want to grab a seat, folks, that way people behind can then actually... Right, what we'll do to start with is I'll jump through the main information system, alright? So I'll switch this off for now and then I'll go back to it in a wee while. That puts both screens to this picture. That's the main sonar system. That's our actual main information system. Depth reading on this thing is top middle. You can see it up there. It's in feet. The depth is actually taken on the right-hand side of the screen, just there. That's where the boat's position will be at all times, okay? So top right to the start of the right areas is your 196 feet, which is, what, 58 meters. The red areas on the screens will show you the hardest echo. That's the rocks. Yellow and green areas below that is clay beds below the rocks, and above it's the silt and sand that have settled over the years up on the surface here. Now, as you come up and into the dark area, the water, the colours totally change their meaning. They go from dead meanings to live meanings, because the pickups up here are fish, which are living, obviously. Top line is actually your game fish, trout and salmon. Still, the difference between trout and salmon is dead easy. Simply look at the packet before you cook them. But on these things, you need the colour chart up in the top right corner. Now, trout are smaller than salmon, so they'll only show on the first four colours to the blue, grey to blue. Salmon being bigger, they'll show between the green and the pink. As you come a bit further down, you'll get another type of fish. These little grey dots along here, roughly about 100 feet down, they're called Arctic char. Arctic char are actually a cold water sea fish, and they evolved to live and breed in fresh water. During the day, they live deep, about 100 feet, 30 meters down, but at night, they rise to the surface, they feed on the planktons, but the moment daylight comes, due to the sensitivity of their eyes, they're forced back down again. They're a small fish. They get to about 18 inches in length, up to about 9 pounds in weight, 45 centimeters, and up to about 4 kilos. But they're very good to eat. So if you get a chance to try them, remember C-H-A-R. That's how they're spelled. You may be recognize them on a menu now. Bigger dots above and below, the ones with the multiple colors in them up here. These are all called ferrochs. Ferrochs are actually a large cannibalistic trout. Now, they normally live deep in the loch, usually sub 400 feet. But because they're cannibalistic and run around eating each other all the time, that drops their number levels. So when the number levels get too low, they rise up, they feed on the char, and they breed. And when the babies are born, obviously the numbers go back up again, the species becomes safer, but the babies aren't. They're terrified. The reason for that being is that their parents are cannibalistic and are sitting there watching them getting bigger and bigger, and tastier looking. So eventually they get to the right size, they get taken down, fattened up, and eaten. Saves them childbinding costs for starters. Which is handy for fish because they don't have any wallets anyway. Yeah. Nowhere to keep them either. Ferrochs are big. Inshore side of the boat, you have it at size, 5 feet in length, 60 pounds in weight, 1 meter 50, 28 kilos. Out there, you're in amongst the monsters, and I'm not talking of the Loch Ness variety either. 7 feet in length and over 100 pounds in weight is not uncommon. 2 meters 20, 45 plus kilos. These are big fish. They're also good to eat. The only problem is that to get any taste out of them, you've got to do what the Orientals do and eat them raw. Now, I know that doesn't sound very appetizing to us, but believe me, when they're raw, they taste like smoked salmon, just a little less salty. Cook them and they end up tasteless. You want something tasteless? Port William and Inverness both have McDonald's. That'll sort that out for you. And that very basically is how the two-dimensional system works, folks. Is that all clear?
Thank you.
Didn't get too technical or comical or any stuff like that. What you've got there is exactly what's underneath us if there was no water here. That machine basically takes away the water. So therefore, we can see what's underneath us. There's the boat. There's the sonar beam below it. The blue line out in the front is the water level, where the water would be. It's also our direction of travel. So that's the side that we're travelling along the now. There's the middle of the loch, and there's the other side. Depth up there is in metres. You've also got your speed course and GPS position. So regardless how many times you see me at the bar, we're getting home safely. All right? That's how they work. Simple as that.
That
That's actually a brand new system. I don't know if you noticed me putting it in when you were coming aboard today. So that's only just gone back into place, like, so. Enjoy. How many of you down here have got cameras with you?
Yeah.
Who wants a photograph of the monster?
Can you get...
Where's Andy? You might want
him. No, you're quite right not to. We're divorced. I don't know where she stays now.
You think I'm joking, to you, don't you?
I'm not. The best thing I ever did. Get your cameras out. Oh, have a look right beside that young gentleman there on the window. Slightly up a bit, sir, and you'll find a sticker on the window. You got the window behind, there's another one. You go back two more windows, and there's two more on the back window. Simply line up the stickers with the water, get them in the viewfinder, click. Simple as that. Have a look in the bar underneath our glass Nessie, and you will see one that we did to show you how well they work. To get one like that, get it in the viewfinder and walk towards the window until the frames disappear. And then you'll get one like we've got there. Make sure you get them in the water though, they don't look so good in the tree.
Like now just approaching us on the right hand side of your face is a big rock fall. It's the Horseshoe Scree.
Just press the button.
Yeah.
Just to make matters worse, he believed us. He dropped the cage into this VB here, baited it with an end of salmon. Good idea. But I've already got to the Scottish monster. Actually turned out to be a good idea as well. You see, 12 weeks the cage was in Loch Ness.
You'll find out when you get it back.
See what was in it. Every time they lifted the cage, the net of salmon had mysteriously vanished. However, the bottle of vodka remained intact, and after 12 weeks in Loch Ness's water, it was beautifully chilled for the party afterwards. As for the monsters trying to get out there, folks, well, I wouldn't quite believe that if I were you. Our monsters have a wee bit more intelligence than that. If they were going to get out of Loch Ness, they would do so, but over on the other side. There's a bus service over there.
There's two holes that are in the bottom of the log that I'm just going to go up and have a look at. I haven't seen them there before.
Well, is that generating something like as we go?
That's as we go, yeah. See this 0% to 100% chart here?
Yeah.
That's picking up estimated depths along this area, and it converts them to calculated depths. So the bits that we've been in up here, now we've only been in this area three times with a boat, but yet it's built up that picture. Whereas here, we've been nearly enough 1,000 times in this area.
Yeah.
So it's built up a very detailed picture. These areas here are estimated depths, whereas where the tracks are, those are calculated depths. So it estimates between two points what the rest of it should look like, right? And once we calculate it, then it changes it to what it should be.
How is it actually calculating it?
What it does is it takes a reading from that sonar. It links into the GPS position. That sonar there, the one you looked at earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It links, it takes the depth from that one.
Yeah.
It plots the position, the GPS position.
Yeah.
And then it fixes it on a memory in this.
How is that sonar taking a depth but sending
beams
down?
Yeah, we could say sonar. Well, it's an actual sonar system. It's a...
You said it could take...
Was
it needed by sound or something?
Yeah, echolocation. Jet, look, middle of a log coming out of us quickly.
Wow.
What is it?
It's a tornado.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, GR1. No, it's not, it's a GR2. Went past and flicked his wings either side, you know.
Guess you get those a lot, don't you, around here?
They use this whole area for low-level flying and bombing.
They
use us as a target quite often.
Oh, that's so odd.
They do, they're terrible. You see them coming down the lock and suddenly they'll fix onto you and come straight at you. I start putting all the lights on up there and try and blind them. Then they put their landing lights on and I will really myself.
Yeah,
that's
not
good, not good. I'm getting out of here. You've got more toys than I have.
Alrighty, quite a lot there that happened. Hope you enjoyed that. That's part one. We'll do part two, well, maybe tomorrow. Okay, so what are some of the salient points? Well, firstly, yes, I hope you enjoyed that. So, but there's some really quite clever stuff built into Buzzchuck. While I was recording this, my phone rang, but then it stopped and then resumed recording after the phone stopped ringing. So I don't know how that's come out, but I'm not going to change it. So I hope that it's okay. I mean, if it's horrendous, then obviously we have to leave it. But I think it should be okay, and hopefully, well, you'll know why now. So there were a couple of little tiny jumps, but it'd be very interesting to see what happened there. Hope you enjoyed that anyway, and part two, as I said, coming soon. This has all been recorded in Buzzchuck, straight from my iPhone 4, in my case, getting the iPhone 5 soon, and using the Fast 6 Hour 4i, of course. I'll speak to you soon. This has been Paul Hopkins, VR Podcasting, on Audio Mo for the 23rd of November. Now I'm going to go and do a couple of other things, finish my cup of tea and all that. Speak to you soon. You take care.